You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And today's show is going to be interesting. We're going to be talking about a number of things. You know, let's start out with President Trump. And he visited Saudi Arabia. He is, look, you know, for those that aren't paying attention, he's making deals that will solidify the United States across finance, trade, and politics. It's going to be a very interesting thing because these deals will span beyond what he's doing over there. So the Saudi deal is substantial in a few ways. You have naysayers that may be minimizing it for whatever reason, you know, but a deal's a deal as long as it works for the benefit of both parties. That's the way I look at it. First, you have a $142 billion arms package. That's the largest between, you know, the Saudis and the U.S. in history. So that's a big thing. Okay, and you know that the reality is when President Trump arrived, he was greeted with the most respect that I've seen a U.S. president greeted with over there. I mean, the purple carpet, the whole nine yards, and basically, you know, he was embraced because this is about building bridges, not creating drama, not creating situations where you have warmongers that want to create war because that's going to, you know, spark the economy in some way or go and benefit, you know, one of the other companies that maybe someone has an interest in. You know, the reality is building bridges is a lot better than blowing them up. All right, so the second thing, you have a $600 billion investment commitment across technology, you know, data centers, energy equipment, and other things that are going to be taking place. And that's in the U.S. That's in the U.S., by the way. Okay, so they're going to be looking at energy, technology, industrial partnerships. It's going to open up a lot of doors. And I believe that, you know, it's going to increase the strength between the two nations, and I think it's going to trickle down to other nations that may be at odds with each other, and tell them stop the nonsense. You know, let's build. Let's not try to blow each other up. You know, because some sort of ideology or some position. You know, at the end of the day, you know, people think you know, you have countries, you have this, you know, what you have are economies, you have business. The United States is one big company. Other countries are one big company, if you look at it. And they have to, you know, in order to have some growth and success and for the people to have a better quality of life, there has to be, you know, there has to be something going on that is producing, all right, you know, whether it be on a small business level, mid-size, large, whatever the case may be, commodities, so on and so forth. It's about, you know, producing revenue. That's what they need to do. Anyway, one of the surprising outcomes were the sanctions being lifted on Syria. I didn't see that coming at all. You know, look, it makes sense, doesn't it? But the people in power that will work closely with the United States. You know, this is something that the U.S. and even Europe has done. England has done this forever, right? You know, you put the people in power that you want for them to establish powers in regions that you can actually unify and have a strategic stronghold here to avoid wars. Because the greatest deterrent from something getting out of control is by having some sort of presence there. That's why the Ukraine should have made the deal with the U.S. to just have a presence there. It would have made everything just kind of stop in a way. because, you know, Russia doesn't want to go to war with the United States. You know, so anyway, and that deal with Syria, it's a smart move. Take all the other stuff aside, all the personal, you know, opinions and everything and personal feelings, you know, it's about business. Does it make sense to go take a country that has been seated in so many different things to go and kind of put somebody in place, clean it up, put somebody in place that's going to democratize it and make it a better place and make it a business haven? Okay, and I think that's what's going to happen. Again, you'll hear naysayers that'll downplay it, you know, mainly coming from the left. They'll say it's words, the financial commitment isn't realized yet, so it doesn't matter, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like saying, I have a deal to manufacture tires. I have a contract, you know, from a client to manufacture tires, but until I deliver and they pay me, it means nothing. That means it has no impact on my business whatsoever. And that's a crock of crap, and that's the reality of it. All right. There's a whole lot of winning taking place with trade deals, you know, that are sure to happen and be mutually beneficial. That's the key thing, mutually beneficial between the UK, Canada, Mexico, China, Europe, and across the board. You know, if it's mutually beneficial for both parties and it's not one-sided, it's a beautiful thing. These tariffs aren't about wanting to impose them. You know, it's like a parent, right? Picture this, a parent. They discipline their kid. Their kid knows when that mother's slipper is going to come out, right? Or that belt's going to come out. They know, hey, wait a second, let me stop what I'm doing. So it's like a parent seeing their kid doing something bad and all of a sudden show them the belt or the slipper. That's whatever they're doing stops them in their tracks. So the tariffs, they're their belt or slipper, and it's working for the mutual benefit of all parties. And that's the key thing. It's not just about the U.S., even though, you know, Trump is about putting the United States first, but I think it's more so about putting the United States in place that we're not getting taken advantage of. And this is where the fairness comes into play. That's the name of the game, being fair. Not the nonsense that's been taking place for so many decades. How has it been allowed to happen? I don't know. I guess, you know, once we came off the gold standard, that's when things started changing because we could print money on demand. So it really didn't matter, right? You know, so anyway, these things are changing. Now I want to drift into crypto and what's going on in the blockchain and digital asset arena. Coinbase. Well, I mean, what an amazing thing. They were included in the S&P 500. Wow. This is the very first, but definitely not the last, crypto-based company to join that club. These are the first steps to acceptance, and none of this would be happening if the United States wasn't becoming a crypto-friendly place. Even look at Mayor Adams in New York. He wants to make New York the crypto, you know, capital of the world. Now, is that going to happen? I don't know. But what I'm saying is that there's more embracing of it than pushing it away. Like, oh my God, that's my ugly kid. Don't look at him. No, it's about, hey, you know what? This is my kid. That's maybe not so ugly. Bring it forward. And you know what? This could be the future. And that's the reality of it. This will undoubtedly be a further helping the likes of Robinhood and the newly public eToro and other groups in that realm. Look, you know, you have the likes of Morgan Stanley. They're set to offer their E-Trade clients crypto trading ability. That's huge. JP Morgan, they just settled their very first out-of-network treasury trade via blockchain. That's huge. BlackRock, well, they've been taking a bull by the horns every step of the way. You know, things are just getting started in the crypto space. And I'm telling you, if you aren't knowledgeable, learn, because in one way, shape, or form, this is going to be part of your financial life or your life in general, whether you like it or not. And it's happening. Look, VanEck, you know, they're tokenizing funds now. And you're going to see more of that. You know, other players are looking to tokenize everything from private deals to real estate. Okay, and there's a bigger picture in general. Okay. Much bigger than Bitcoin, even though the Bitcoin faithful see nothing but Bitcoin. It's a Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin. This is what they don't see anything else. But there's a vast opportunity that flows beyond that, and that's the the key part of everything. It flows way beyond that. You know, and listen, look at Michael Saylor. Okay, he makes a lot of good points for Bitcoin, but there is no question it's in a lane of its own. But there are other lanes that are bringing utility, functionality, and scalability and innovation to the equation. So the handcuffs, they're coming off. And that's why you can see Ripple's Brad Gollinghouse. He's spearheading traditional financial institution acquisitions. He's going in there full blast. I love it. It's fantastic. He's doing things that people thought couldn't be done. You know, when things were kind of going sideways, right? It was a situation where you didn't think the crypto space would be doing this. You didn't think that this would be happening in the crypto space, but it is. Okay, so Ripple, they're making deals with banks for cross-border payments and so many other things, and it's going to continue to go on and on. You know, I always said that Ripple's technology is fantastic. It's great stuff. Okay, but they're not the only game in town. This is why you see the likes of Pico Novus gaining interest for everything from tokenization to their layer 2 blockchain options, for financial and health institutions. This is a big thing. They, you know, people look at Ethereum, Solana, Bitcoin, this, that. You know, you have to look at Pico Novus too, because there are a lot of things going on there. The only thing is, it hasn't gotten the global attention that the other ones have gotten. Well, they haven't gotten the global attention yet. And that is a key thing. Not yet. But all this stuff will come to pass because it is, I mean, it's a powerful system. You know, basically, you know, when it comes to the layer two, it's basically giving institutions, and whether it be financial, health, so on and so forth, a private blockchain that feeds into a public one when needed. It takes all the attributes of the public chain and gives them a private version of it where they can always connect to the public chain. It's pretty amazing. And on top of the tokenization ability, man, all this stuff is a win and a win and a win and a win. And it keeps winning, right? You keep winning. And as you may know, not too long ago, and this is also another fantastic thing that transpired, Cantor Fitzgerald, they teamed up with Tether, SoftBank, and Strike to create create 21 Capital. It was a SPAC. They created it, 21 Capital. It's a Bitcoin treasury similar to MicroStrategy. That's you know, it's a focus venture company, and it's starting out with 42,000 Bitcoins, and they're looking to create innovation for Bitcoin, which is great to hear the innovation, right? It's going to be interesting what they're going to do. Because if they are looking at what they've done with the Lightning Network and everything else, you know, they'll figure things out, I guess. The only issue that I see is that Bitcoin itself, the blockchain, is limited. So it'll be really interesting to see what they come up with without disrupting the blockchain, right? So it's going to be interesting. We've had a few states that launched strategic crypto reserves, and I believe that we will see many more companies doing this as well, and many more states doing this, and many more countries doing this. You know, look, accumulating certain cryptocurrencies to build a war chest of long-term value is key. And I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see the accumulation of Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Pico Novus. You know, you're going to see probably Avalanche and XRP probably, and a variety of viable, keyword viable, you know, cryptos. And that's the key with that. Plus, at some point, the monetization comes into play, which would allow these reserves to generate income just by them being owned. You know, I'm not talking about meme coins and that garbage, because meme coins are garbage. Well, what purpose are they serving? Unless they're involved in a game or something, but other than that, What value? You know, people are getting the rug pulled from underneath them. Scams, this, that is happening all the time. So, you know, just you know, focus on the real things, not on that type of stuff. We see this this success happening with MicroStrategy as far as the strategic reserves for them is Bitcoin. This is why we've seen the rise of the SPAC 21 Capital. We've seen the rise of Eric Trump's American Bitcoin venture, and that's going to be going public soon. All right, we will see many more financial institutions, of course, banks, brokerage firms, private equity firms, and hedge funds having strategic crypto reserves, just as they would have cash reserves or other asset reserves. And it's going to happen because it is an asset class within itself. But we are going to see companies using this as a tool to increase their overall value proposition and gain interest, get funding, and other benefits that would come along with it. Mark my words that you will see more high net worth individuals holding personal strategic crypto reserves for their trust, their venture companies, or for whatever they're doing, because it makes a world of sense. You need to be diversified, but the reality is, you know, you need to have a position in the crypto space, and you have to pick the type of crypto you want to be involved with. You know, Bitcoin definitely should be a part of it, but the volatility, you know. But you also, again, should be looking at Ethereum, Solana, Pico, Novus, and a few others. And that can make things well-rounded for you. The creation of value and long-term growth has been the purpose of Wall Street since its inception. Since you had three or four people with chairs right there in a corner of I think Wall and Broad, wherever they were sitting down, and they started it. Okay, they started trading stocks, and ever since then, it has been about value creation and long-term growth. Investors getting in, getting involved, looking at what the future may be. The crypto market is no different, and we're seeing a convergence of sorts to create a new Wall Street, a better Wall Street, a more inclusive Wall Street. So, my advice, strap yourselves in, as this will be one hell of a ride, and it's just beginning. You know, if you're not very familiar with the crypto space, I do advise you to look into it. Learn as much as you can. You don't need to be an expert, but just get familiar with it, because this is going to be a part of your daily lives in the coming months and years. And, you know, and you're going to say, oh, you're crazy. It's impossible. It is possible, and it's been happening. People said, a couple of years ago, crypto market is dead. Yeah, well, Bitcoin is the highest it's ever been, right? And going higher. You know, we may see it at over, you know, a couple hundred thousand before the end of the year. Wouldn't that be amazing? And then the naysayers, they'll always come out and say their naysayer things, you know, but think for yourself, do your research, make informed decisions, and just, again, educate yourself. All right. I want to thank you guys for joining me, and I'll be back with you with another episode. I'm looking to bring on a guest, and we're going to talk about gold transactions and these mysteries that take place. Of these, it comes down to, you know, people being scammed and people looking, you know, these people looking at the gold trade, you know, not the way it should be, and they're being taken for a ride. And we're going to go into that stuff. I don't want to talk about that too much now. I'm going to leave that for the next show. But join me for that, because that's going to be an interesting, revealing show for anyone that's involved in the gold trade. All right. Anyway, thank you for tuning in, and I'll be back with you for the next episode of Money Never Sleeps.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host, Louis Balavkath, and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.